So I just want to pat ourselves on the back because at least at the time of this recording, we are now recording episode 4. Well, we're not recording in order, but Jasper and I were notorious for starting something, vlog, whatever, and then we go until episode 3 only. So now we're outdoing ourselves, episode 4.
4 now? Wow, that's crazy.
Congratulations, your visa has been approved. Welcome to Beyond the Passport. Fasten your seatbelts as we journey together around the world.
Yeah, so February 24, war broke out in Ukraine.
Is it February 24?
Yeah, I think that's because I did the edits. It said February 24. In the morning of February 24, people woke up to sirens and bombings and stuff.
Yeah.
And war broke out. And then Jasper and I, we work for an organization called Child Impact International. Mm-hmm. Who helps vulnerable kids
around the world. Yeah.
And, children exposed to war are vulnerable kids. Mm-hmm. And so Jasper was sent there. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't able to come because, you know.
Yeah, I was like, where was I? I wasn't right after Africa. January, we went to Africa together. Mm-hmm. And I opened up this idea to the team and I told them, hey guys, why don't we go to Ukraine? I would love to go to Ukraine and check out what's happening. And of course, I don't know, Filipinos are not allowed to just go to Ukraine because everyone's evacuating. Why would you go to Ukraine? Mm-hmm. But we thought maybe it's a good opportunity to help out. At that moment, no one really wants to go to Ukraine because everyone's married. Like in the team, everyone's like married. VJ wants to go, but I think it's like a bad idea to bring someone to Ukraine and especially if you have a family. And so I thought maybe I should go there. Mm-hmm. And it's such a blessing because when we were starting working there in Europe, there's a group of people that have contacted us and that partnered with us, that we sponsor and also help out. So a group of people out in Austria that goes to the border of Ukraine and technically bring supplies and bring people back to Germany and Austria. Mm-hmm. And so it's crazy because you have this group of people that has dedicated their lives, even though they're so busy. And some of these people are like businessmen, business people, big companies. They've really dedicated their lives every single week to go once a week, fill up a van or fill up a bus, go to Romania from Germany, which is like a 25, 26 hour drive, very, very far, to go to the border. Mm-hmm. And to bring relief to the people, it's really inspiring. And so when I've heard about these stories, I said, hey, I want to go to the border, maybe film, and hopefully go inside the border. I'll go inside the country of Ukraine.
And so just to paint a picture, around this time, people were evacuating. Yeah, because there was conflict already. Mm-hmm. People evacuated from their homes. Mm-hmm. They went to the border, and then they're staying there. They don't know where to go. They can't go back to their homes. Mm-hmm. Some of them, their homes have been wrecked already.
Yeah, dude. So I remember one of the biggest problem in Ukraine way before the war, was human trafficking. That was really one of the biggest problems in Ukraine. And there are people are taking advantage from and become sex slaves and, you know, sold to brothels and all that stuff. And so it's already a problem. And so when the war broke out, human traffickers actually took advantage of this opportunity. And so they would go to the border. And just to give you a little background, when the war broke out, based on Ukrainian law, and I'm not sure if it's because of the war that law was passed, or maybe it's already there, that if you're 18 above or 17 above, you can't go out if you're a male.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
because you have to do service.
Do service. Okay. Yeah, you need to fight or help out during the war. And so it's crazy because as soon as you go to the border of Romania, there's a city called Sirit. I'm not sure if it's a city or a small town. Right in the border, you see a lot of women coming and you won't see men. Mm-hmm. It's all women coming out with babies, children, because fathers or men are not allowed to go with them. They need to stay by. Mm-hmm. And so human traffickers would take advantage of this and take these vulnerable kids and ladies. And I've heard stories of people they're supposed to go to a destination, but they've never arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Or they go to a place, but they were promised a place, but they were they were brought to a different place, another Eastern European country. And we so it's super sad. And so at Child Impact, we have this idea to help out with the project was called Operation Safe Passage. Mm-hmm. That was the concept, Operation Safe Passage. So the concept was to bring a van and a bus to the border and to rescue children and women and bring them to safety. Mm-hmm. It's amazing because we're not just bringing people and okay, we'll bring them to a shelter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, we actually bring them to houses. You know, they will live with locals, they will live with local Austrians and Germans, they'll be taken care of. And props to the Austrian and German government for giving our Ukrainian friends housing and also allowance, mm-hmm. food. And in fact, kids are entitled to go to school for free. Free schooling, mm-hmm. free housing, and free healthcare. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. In fact, after 90 days of you staying in Ukraine, you need to go to school mm-hmm. if you're a kid. And so it's mandatory that they need to learn German. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, you know. So we're not just bringing them to safety; we're integrating them to a new culture, you know, because we don't know how long the war will go on.
Mm-hmm. And so you've met different groups, different people who. Yeah. Who are doing these things, giving them safe passage, sheltering them, giving them homes, bringing them to, you know, to other homes as well.
Yeah.
So can you tell us more about?
Yeah. So a lot of people that we've come in contact with, there's a guy by the name of Andreas. He runs the CEO of a company called Optimo. Really amazing person. He's a CEO of this mattress company. And so what they did was they were like, hey, the war broke out. You know, and maybe we can get refugees and they have a showroom mm-hmm. of their mattresses, amazing mattresses, right? Some of these mattresses like cost like $1,000, right? I was like, man, these are so expensive. And they converted their showroom into a refugee center, welcome center for refugees, mm-hmm. and they'll take care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's amazing. And this guy, Andreas, did not only open his company to do that, but also adopted a Ukrainian family,
mm-hmm,
you know, to house them mm-hmm. on their house. That's mm-hmm. crazy. That's like another mile. And so you have these heroes that you don't usually hear from the news. And probably this is one of the reasons why we made this podcast, because, you know, you see the news and, you know, you rarely hear stories of people who are doing an extra mile to help people. I remember a story of Sylvia and what's his name again?
Jorgen.
Yeah, they have also a little company, and they opened their company. They've converted their little building into a refugee mm-hmm. center. Mm-hmm. And every single week, this couple would go to the border of Ukraine sending medicine. All their staff members, they're all volunteers to go to the border of Ukraine. So you see a lot of these people just sacrificing themselves for the betterment of, you know, people from another nationality. And these people are not what's her name again? There's another lady from Austria. You remember her name? Oh, I'm in trouble. She fed me for a week. I'm sorry, I forgot her name. But anyways, I stayed with this lady. She was from Austria. And
is this the lady with the white hair? No. Oh no.
I'm so bad. I'm sorry. I hope she's not listening. But anyways, I forgot her name, but she runs this amazing, amazing organization that even started when the influx of refugees from Syria mm-hmm. and Iraq came.
Oh, yeah. I remember this lady. I will not remember
her. Oh, no. But anyways, so she was amazing. This lady was such an inspiration. She left her job to do this full time. Amazing. And her cousin runs mm-hmm. a organization called the Train of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
The Train of Hope was, it's all about welcoming refugees that came from train station. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is to bring them to a welcome center. So they've converted this stadium, mm-hmm. big mm-hmm. stadium, dude. And it can house up to 1,400 refugees a day.
Yeah, I've seen the stadium. And then there's sections to it. Like there's a cafeteria and a play area.
It's amazing. Yeah. And you see play area. They have
a place to sleep.
Yeah, groceries and all that. And so refugees arrive in Austria to get welcomed there. Yeah. They get all the data and all that kind of stuff. And 1,400 people a day is welcomed there. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they go through the process, they're sent to a house. They're taken care of. Mm-hmm, Train of Hope. Really, really interesting. And so you have these heroes that has welcomed a lot of refugees. So I remember one time that sitting down there and I thought, man, this is a long shot, but I should go to Ukraine. And so I opened it up to my my team and they were like, okay, yeah, yeah, come, go. Mm-hmm. We'll get you insurance and all that. They brought me this special insurance and in case I get abducted and all that kind of stuff. I read it. You ever get this insurance before? The Advent?
Yeah,
Tony,
I did.
Insurance did you guys use again? When you go travel, Adventist something?
Risk management.
And so I was reading this risk management thing, right? And there's part of it that says, if you get abducted, if you get shot or something like that. I was like, man, this is serious. And I'm like, so I said, okay, let's go do it, right? Let's go do it. And so I came, I asked my team, and no one wants to come. But I remember a friend of mine, shout out to Christian Stoican, a really good friend that I met 2018 in Romania. I preached there before. Really good friend, photographer, really, really talented kid. Really young. That's 22. Mm-hmm. And I told him, dude, I'm going to Ukraine. You want to come?
Okay, just to make it clear, because you were going to the borders.
Yeah, I'm going to the border.
So not really inside Ukraine. Now you wanted to go inside Ukraine.
Yeah, so I already was in the in the border. Yeah. I see all this action, right? We've done the rescue. Supposed to be the trip is only one trip. Mm-hmm. And my trip in Europe is only supposed to be a week. Uh-huh. And the CEO, Tom Evans, I told him, okay, dude, I'm so impressed to stay here at the border. You guys go home. You know, so they left me there. Because the plan was go with them from Germany to the border of Ukraine and sit it in Romania, Suceava. Mm-hmm. From there, we pick up refugees. We bring them back.
Yeah.
The whole idea was that. Mm-hmm. But I told them, oh man, I need more stories. I want to immerse myself. Can I stay? And they were like, are you sure? And so they're like, okay, we'll give you the risk management thing. And so they sent me back. They went home. And then I stayed there in Romania alone. And I texted my friend who's from Romania. He drove 5 hours and I told him, dude, I want to go to Ukraine. You want to come? Mm-hmm. And so that was the start of trying to go to Ukraine. And then so I asked him, let's try this one. We connected with this pastor. What was his name? Dude, we're so in trouble. I hope these people will not listen to us. I forgot the names. There's so many people.
But to be fair, they have difficult names to pronounce. So.
No, not really. That's not with an excuse.
Martin.
Not Martin.
Okay.
Forgive me. But anyways, this pastor is one of those pastors who, when the war started, go to the border and the safer side. They go and give relief goods from Romania to Ukraine. They literally go inside the border. Uh-huh. Romanians don't have any problems going to Ukraine, so that was not a problem for him. So he always go in there. So I told him, Pastor, can you please bring me to Ukraine? Is it possible? And said, yeah, come. I'll take care of you. Just give me your passport and all that. And so we drove. I was like praying, and I was like, dude, I was so scared. I was like, I saw the border already. I was so scared. And I told Christian first, are you sure? Can you talk to your mom if he is okay with you coming to Ukraine?
Sign a waiver.
Yeah, sign a waiver. And he was like, yeah, man, I want to go, you know? And I was like, are you sure? Yeah, let's go. So we went to the border. We rode this car filled with apples and goods and oranges and all that to be brought to the refugees inside Ukraine. And so I remember sitting down there and I was just literally praying, Lord, just let me in, please. I want to go inside Ukraine. I know it was I know people are praying to leave Ukraine and here I am praying to go inside the country. And so I was like, man, what am I going to do? And so coming up, sitting down there, I gave a passport and the guy looked at me. And I was like, no. I literally saw his name. No. And then I remember the pastor came down and he talked to him and said, yeah, can you give him a pass and all that? And then I remember we gave him croissant and all that kind of stuff just to bribe him. And literally he came up and said, no, you're Filipino.
Attempt number one.
Yeah, that was attempt number one. No, you're Filipino. you know, by law, you should have a visa. Mm-hmm, and I was mm-hmm. like, dude, you know, we tried to go get a visa, but, you know, you're being bombed. You know, no one's answering me. You know, and I remember the pastor even tell me, don't call Ukraine. You know, they already have so much problems. Mm-hmm. You know, don't. And I was like, yeah, okay. And they didn't let me in.
Okay.
So I left. I was really heartbroken. And I remember the pastor dropping us to the border.
And then they went in.
And Christian was like, you want to go with him? And it's like, no, I'll go with you, bro. And I was like, and so we walked very sad from the border going out. And then at that time, we were thinking of just, you know, like, just quitting. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, I'll just go home. And so I stayed by on the border a little bit, just interviewing people and just living with locals, eating Romanian food, amazing, amazing food. And then there was an opportunity to go back to Germany.
Okay.
There's a big bus coming from Germany. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is, I'll talk to you more about the owner of this bus, mm-hmm. but the idea is from from Germany.
There's a bus.
In Austria, sorry, uh-huh. just to make it clear.
Okay.
In Austria, there's a university called Bogenhofen University. It's an adventist seminary. And what they do is they bring this bus from the border, fill it with supplies, uh-huh. and bring it to the border of Ukraine. Yeah. From Germany, sorry.
Because yeah. in the borders, there's a lack of supplies. Yeah, groceries, lack of supplies. Yeah.
At this time, I don't know if you guys remember, Ukraine is one of the number one producers of wheat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so imagine, you know, not having wheat at all to make bread
mm-hmm.
and the gas and all that stuff. And so there was this big struggle. But anyways, they thought of maybe bringing supplies, a big bus, mm-hmm. bringing it from Germany to Ukraine. And then after they come inside the Ukraine, mm-hmm. After they go to the border, mm-hmm. they fill it up with people.
Okay. And so they fill up from outside Ukraine in yeah. Austria, right?
Yeah.
They fill it up with supplies,
yeah.
go to the border,
yeah.
Unload the supplies
yeah.
and then fill it up with people.
Yeah. So that's the whole idea. And so it's
to bring them out.
Yeah, to bring it out. bring them out and give them a safe passage. And, mm-hmm. and the people that I mentioned earlier, they will welcome them.
Mm-hmm.
Andreas, Jürgen, and all that. And so I decided to come with them. I said, okay, I'm not, you know, why would I stay here? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot more stories too in Germany about the refugees that we helped out. So we went out. I rode for like, 30 something hours?
Hours, yeah.
Yeah, it was a very long trip. But I started to, because there's no translator. No one's translating for me. So I had to Google Translate, started talking to locals and all that. Imagine for 28, 26 hours, we're just sitting down there, just talking to people mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and all that. Try to talk to the kids, try to use Google Translate. And I remember there was this boy. And if you have been following me on Instagram, you probably also fell in love with this boy.
Uh-huh. His handsome name was, young boy.
Yeah, he, handsome young boy. Very, very good boy. His name was Artem.
Mm-hmm.
Artem, his family evacuated a town called Konotov. And it was bombed by the Russians. And so they decided to flee driving across Kyiv.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very dangerous. They went to the western part, crossed the border. Him and his sister and his older sister and his mother.
His mother, yeah.
And so we rode with them with the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid started talking to me. And I remember the first message he gave me in a Google Translate. He said, I really like English, but I don't know how to speak it. But it's almost like he's telling me, can you engage in a conversation mm-hmm. with me? It was very sweet.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is so cool. And so I started to talk to him in Ukrainian and Russian using Google Translate.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And we have this conversation. He likes boxing. And then he asked me if we could have a push-up competition. We have push-ups. I remember doing magic tricks, you know. And I remember he was telling me all this stuff for 26 hours. Just sat down there talking about life through Google Translate. Of course, it was very, very, it's a little bit difficult. And it can be very annoying because I can't express what I really think. But it was good enough that we were able to have this connection. And right after the trip, I've never forgot this. I forget that he typed it in Google Translate and he said, I'm so happy that you were part of the trip and you're my best friend. And for me, I was like, that felt really good. That felt really good. I was like, man, if I'm not paid doing this job, if I get paid that month, only doing that.
He said one more thing. He said, you're a super pastor.
Oh, yeah. That was the end of the trip. Yeah. Right at the end, he told me, because he never thought I was a pastor. Because I was like, he never believed I was a pastor. And at the end, he was like, man, you are a super pastor. Wow. And that was like, I was really touched by that. And I remember bringing them to the mattress company. Mm-hmm. They had their own bed. And we ate together. That's where the reality of war kind of hit me during this time, because I've realized how damaged these kids mm-hmm. are.
Especially the kids.
I remember talking to Artem, talking to me about how his dad is from Belarus and how his dad is not allowed to go to mm-hmm. Ukraine. Go outside of Ukraine. He's at war and he doesn't know if he's going to see him, but he's hopeful that he will see him in Germany right after war. This kid is really hopeful. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In fact, when he was in Germany, he was really looking forward to it. So we're trying to integrate the kids, right? But Artem is so different because Artem really thinks they're going to win the war and he's going to go back to mm-hmm, his normal mm-hmm. life. But we don't know that. And yeah. So it's very sad. He's very hopeful that he's going to see his father. And so sitting down there and I was like talking to him, just giving him comfort, letting him fly the drone. But I've seen the realities of war, how these kids are damaged. And one time we were sitting down eating in Austria and all of a sudden, like 11 p.m., we were talking until 11, all of a sudden this siren. Mm-hmm. And that's the sound of that is actually just...
it means war.
Yeah, for them it means war. But in Austria, it's just fire alarm. Uh-huh. Yeah, and when firefighters will pass by, they just you hear this a lot. Mm-hmm. And so it's so crazy. He was all the Ukrainian the moms mm-hmm. and the kids. They went out of the room and they asked me in the Google Translate, "Why is there war in Austria?" Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I said, no, that's not war. Mm-hmm. It's just
a siren.
Yeah, siren from a fire warning or something like mm-hmm. that. And no, we're all cool, but everyone, you see their faces. Yeah. They're so scared. You know, I remember Dasha looking really panicky. I remember Artem just panicking because that's what they hear for weeks being mm-hmm. being bombed. And right before they're bombed, you hear the siren. That means you have to go underground and hide. And so imagine the trauma that these kids mm-hmm. are going through. And so working with Child Impact, we realized that yes, they need shelter. Yes, they need safety, a safe place. Yes, that's most important. But as soon as they got that already from the German government and also from our friends in Austria, we realized that they need help psychologically. Mm-hmm. They need help with their mental health. And so we started to hire psychiatrists, mm-hmm. Doctors to help them just go through with the trauma. Yeah. And it was very difficult because mm-hmm. imagine finding... I remember bringing American psychiatrists, psychologists. They can't express it to... it's very difficult to have a therapy session with a Ukrainian or Russian. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. And so we literally have to hire a translator who is also... a psychiatrist, a really an expert in
so the
Russian.
Language barrier is not there.
Yeah, so it was really difficult. It was really difficult, but it was also a blessing to see that their focus now is not to hide from bullets and missiles. Mm-hmm. Their focus now is to just live life. Just to focus on their dreams.
Okay, well, you weren't able to enter Ukraine, but mm-hmm. you try it again, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I almost forgot about that. Thank you, Vichy. Yes, see, this is what happens. I forgot about it. Yes, and so when we were there, we decided, because every week, there's always a trip going there. And so I met this guy. His name is Johan. Mm-hmm. Johan owns a bus company. And what he does is he buys buses from Germany and Austria, and he drives them to the border of Ukraine mm-hmm. or nearby mm-hmm. and he sells them to Romania. Mm-hmm. So old buses, outdated buses from Germany and Europe brings them to Romania to sell. Mm-hmm. And so they decided and they were talking to church people and they were like, dude, you're always doing this. Why not, when you buy a bus, let us know fill it up with supplies. We fill it with up supplies, mattresses, food, vegetables, everything, wheat. Whatever it is, wheat, whatever it is from Germany, fill it up and bring it to the Romanian border. Mm-hmm. And so he drives this almost every week. And so just a little story before I get into the when I went to New Ukraine. The first time Johan did this, he proposed it to the church. Mm-hmm. And so they fill it up. Johan went there. As soon as he got to the border, the idea is drop the supplies, then sell the bus. Mm-hmm. But then he realized something. There's so many women and kids alone being taken advantage of by people. Sometimes they're asked to pay a lot of money just to go somewhere. And it's almost like a business. And you don't really see this in the news, but there's a lot of people who's doing this in the as a business. In fact, you can actually bribe the Ukrainian border patrol to let you in. Mm-hmm. So, because again, we were talking about men cannot go out of Ukraine, right? So sometimes men would pay to $12,000, $15,000 just for them to go out. Yeah. And so in the border, they're also doing the same. Sometimes people take advantage of people, ask them a huge amount of money and bring them to safety.
Okay.
And so Johan saw this. And so he called Andreas and a bunch of team there in Austria and Germany. It's like, dude, there's a lot of people here. What do we do with them? You know, can we bring them to Germany or what do we do?
Is there a place for them?
And so Optimo was like, yeah, let's convert our foam company and we'll make them a center. And so it's like, how many people can we get? Johan said, how many people can we get? And then the Germans were like, bring as much as you can. And so he filled this bus, man. He filled this bus and bring them to safety. So every single week, Johan does this.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Goes to the border.
Brings people back.
And by the way, that's a almost 28 to 30 hour trip one way. That's very long.
Uh-huh. And you drove with Johan. Yeah.
And so I've heard this Johan guy going. This is such a crazy guy. And that time, usually they go by pair. So one sleeps, one drive. When I came with Johan, it's just two of us.
Yeah. And you don't drive.
And I don't drive. And this guy also barely speaks English. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And if you have Instagram, you can follow me there, PSTR Jasper. You can see our interaction together. I filmed this. Every single thing I filmed this. I remember the first time he would blast this German music the whole time. He would jam to it. He would hold my hands and he would wave it. And sometimes he would play the violin, play the flute, and he would play the guitar while driving in the freeway. I'm not sure if it's legal, but he was doing it the whole time in the Autobahn. Right? This is crazy. And so he would do that and he was so bored. And there was one time he told me, Jasper, do you drive? And I was like, yeah, but not a bus. I was like, oh, okay, we're sleeping then. And so he parked somewhere and we just slept. And by the way, I remember instead of bringing food and vegetables when we went to Ukraine, we have a little food and vegetables also. But we filled it with mattresses. So shout out to Child Impact International for sponsoring $15,000 worth of mattresses to a refugee camp that we went to inside Ukraine. I'll talk more about that later on. And so we were driving. It was a very long drive. And that was from Vienna, Austria, going to Sosheva. In Romania. It was a very, very long trip. It was well worth it. It was a 28-hour trip. Sitting down in a bus with this guy who barely speaks English. But we really like grew to like each other.
You guys should meet Johan.
Yeah.
He plays all these musical instruments.
It's amazing. And he dedicated his life just to rescue people and bring them. And so we were in the border. I remember sitting down there and I'm like, Johan, they won't let me in. But you see, my passport is very weak. I have a Filipino passport, one of the weakest passports out there. And so it's very difficult for me to go. If you're British, if you're English, Korean, Singaporean, you can go to Ukraine. They won't ask you. They'll just let you in. Mm-hmm. As a Filipino, I really need to go through the process of getting a visa. Uh-huh. The problem is I can go get a visa because they're being bombed. And so They told me, okay, just come. We'll give you a special letter, invitation, whatever. But I'm sure it will not work. Yeah, so I came in, Johan, and said, Johan, you know, I don't know what to do. I've already been rejected, but Let's try.
Okay. This is attempt number two.
Yeah, I always tell people, my passport might be weak, mm-hmm. but my stubbornness is off the chart. I'll do my best to really go and try. And so I went with him, sat down on the border. We have this humongous bus filled with mattresses. Mm-hmm. Like, good for 300 kids.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of mattresses. So we sat down there. We're in the border. Again, this familiar feeling. Man, I'm going to get rejected. Oh, my goodness. I'm so scared. And then Johan was like, yeah, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. So the lady came. First lady came. And he checked my border. My passport. Sorry, you're not on the list. Sorry, you know, and whatever. You can't go in, you know. And I told Yancy, oh, this is impossible. And Johan came down. And he started talking to these people. Right? And then Johan came back smiling. And I was like, what's the news? He's like, yeah. The guy said he'll do his best to bring you in.
Okay.
And he's going to try. And this is quote, word by word. Okay. Johan said, he's going to try the impossible. Okay. It's like, the impossible? Okay. The impossible. So I sat down there. You know, Christian, the 20-year-old kid, was also beside me. Okay, so we were just sitting, singing there. And I remember singing with my guitar, just melancholically. It sucks to be a Filipino, because when you travel, they'll tell you you can't go. It's just, you know, it's very sad. I'm so jealous, you know, of other people, of other nationalities. So I sat down there, just waiting for Johan. And Johan came back. Oh, he was with a guard.
Oh, okay.
It was like, oh, there's a stamp on my passport. Okay. I was so shocked. I was like, wow, there's a stamp on my passport. Amazing. And I told Johan, what'd you tell him? Did you tell him I'm the prince of the Philippines? And my dad is president?
Well, hey, what are you saying?
And I was like, no. I told him something. I was like, what is it? It's like, no, let's just drive first. And so we went in, and you're driving. I finally got inside Ukraine. I might be wrong, but probably the only Filipino in Ukraine during the war. And I'm like, man, how in the world did you do that, Johan? And Johan went and talked to the guard and said, this guy, he owns this bus and he owns all these mattresses and he will give this to the Ukrainian kids. He told them that I'm his boss and I own the mattresses and I need to get in. So I need to see where the mattresses goes. And I remember Johan told me, do you know the guard said, can you give us some mattresses? And Johan was like, no, my boss will be angry. And so I was able to get in because Johan told him I own the bus. And I think Johan was telling me about how one of the guards called the headquarters in Kyiv, telling me about the situation, and they approved me. So it was just a miracle. You know, yeah. It was like, wow, I can't believe that was possible. I never in my a million years, I'll even though I was hopeful, but I in my mind, I was like, no, I'm never going to do
that. No, you're a bus owner.
Yeah, so I went there. We brought this bus to a place called U Camp. And U Camp houses, it's a summer camp, mm-hmm. but now they've converted it to a refugee camp. So the U Camp is a refugee camp for orphans from war-torn areas of mm-hmm. Ukraine that were bombed. Dude, the stories there are crazy. Spending time with the kids, just sitting down with them, just talking about what happened to them. Was one kid telling me about how their teachers were shot, killed by the Russians. Oh. And some of their lady teachers, the women, were asked by the Russians to pass by areas if they, because some of the areas have landmines and they're not sure if they're landmines or not. And so they'll ask these teachers to pass by these areas if they want to live. So you can imagine that. Mm-hmm. And some of them were shot, some of them were bombed. It's crazy. And so you'll see these kids, even though they're happy, but they're really traumatized. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so imagine already being abandoned by your parents. Some of these kids have been abandoned. Some of your parents have died. And now you have war where your teachers, technically your only family, has been shot and killed. And so one of those things is just so sad. And so we brought them mattresses. because there's not enough mattresses for kids because the youth camp is only catering for maybe 100 kids and now they have 300. And so we were able to bring and cater to a lot more kids by mattresses and giving them washing machines, helping them out with those things. So thank you, Child Impact International, mm-hmm. for sponsoring our trip to in Ukraine. We decided not to just to go inside the, mm-hmm. the camp. The camp is where the safer side of Ukraine is. Chervinsky.
Oh, the camp was already inside Ukraine.
Yeah, okay. But it's in the safer mm-hmm. part. And so we went to Kyiv and we went to Bordoyanka. We drove for about 9 hours, man. I've never seen that much checkpoint in my life. We've been checked so many times. We've been stopped many times, ID, stopped many times, ID. And you see throughout the roads, man, like the house is just destroyed. Like, just holes everywhere. I've never seen anything like that. And just even a forest area was just all these trees just down.
No.
Yeah, with just bullets and explosions and bridges that are destroyed and buildings that are apartment buildings that has been like bombed.
Are there people still around in the area?
Yeah, there's still people. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's still people. It's crazy. It's just like a normal life. Okay. You know? People just walking around the streets, kids. But it's a sad reality is a lot of people have really died. You know, you'd see buildings with pictures and they said like still 40 people have not been taken out from that. They're dead. They're in the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
So you really see it's such a sad sight. You see tanks everywhere. You see even dogs has no owners that they're just mm-hmm. roaming around. Some of them have died. Some of the cats have died. No food because the owners fled. So it's a sad situation. I remember just chilling with a group. I think four of us. Bunch of
mm-hmm.
Most of them they don't speak English.
Okay.
So Google Translate. But it was fun.
Ukrainians.
Ukrainians. They fed us really good food in Ukraine too, and so we also went into a military base. I wasn't able to post much of it, but I took selfies with generals and commanders and. You know, and I saw the weapons that the Americans have donated. See rocket launchers, take selfies with them. It's an amazing sight. I've never seen anything like that. But I was able to bring supplies. We were able to bring supplies from the safer part of Ukraine, fill up a van, and give humanitarian support to the people who are stuck in the war zone.
By this point, you've been there for like how many?
It's like a week.
Like a week.
Yeah, a week or so. Mm-hmm.
In Ukraine.
But
like the whole trip.
The whole trip.
The borders, like a month already.
Yeah, 2 months.
Two months already.
Yeah.
And with all the things you've seen,
mm-hmm.
faith in people are still there.
Yeah.
Like there's still compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. And these people each other also need help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to be able, I there's one psychotherapist or something mm-hmm. like that, like really like an expert in psychology or something. I don't know what degree she has, but she's a lawyer, she's a judge, she's also a psychiatrist,
mm-hmm.
psycho expert. She was in a bomb shelter for 2 weeks and she really traumatized. She's going through therapy, and after her therapy, she's giving therapy. You know, so it's like that's crazy, you know. So can you imagine getting therapy and the people you talk to triggers you too from their experiences that reminds you of your experience?
Yeah, they're like, I need help too.
Yeah, but the urgency is there. People wanted to help, and so you could really see these people really wanted to help out, and it's really inspiring, you know. Really inspiring. And also just to give a little note, I did not post in my Instagram story, but I was detained by the police in Ukraine. And because I flew the drone in the safer part of Ukraine, and they told me, oh, you're not supposed to fly the drone. You might be spying and all that. And so they put me in the police car with my friend, the Christian, in the police car. They don't speak English. They don't speak Romanian. I think one speak a little bit of Romanian. But I was stuck there with the police guy. He was talking to me and I was like, oh, you should not be doing, delete the stuff. And literally, I kid you not, I have all this footage, right? I was like, this is precious footage. I cannot have them delete this. I was willing to give them the drone. I don't care. And I was almost like I was there about to swallow my memory card because I want this memory card so bad. And so they detained me in the police car, sat down with them for like hours. And at the end was just they were asking me for a bribe.
Oh, okay.
So they were asking me, how much is the drone? I said, $1,000. It's like, okay, pay half of that so you'll get it. It's like, half of that? No, bro. Like, I told Christian, dude, tell this guy, I have no money here. Like, look, I don't have any euros. I only have this amount of money and I need to eat. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, how much money do you have? Well, I only have like $50. Mm-hmm. It's like, 100. All right, okay, I'll give you 100. Just give me the drone. So they let me go.
Okay.
All they want is just a bribe. So it was crazy. I was very scared, to be honest, because Ukraine during that time is martial law. And my driver who drove me around was very scared. It was not Johan. Johan already left. Because, by the way, just a little context. After we went to Bordoyanka in the war zone, we went back to the safer area.
Okay.
And I decided to still stay for a few days. And Johan left already.
Okay. So it's just you and Christian.
It's just me and Christian. And it's so funny because we were sitting down there. He was like, are you sure you want to stay? And I'm like, yeah, man, you know, I want to stay. I want to experience more of Ukraine. So we stayed by a little bit. Johan was my hero there in Ukraine.
Where did you stay?
I've stayed with locals.
Okay.
Yeah. So the guy knows a little Romanian. So I'd speak English to Christian would speak Romanian to him, vice versa. Mm-hmm. So that was the situation. And I just, you know, to really understand what people feel. I think that if you live with locals, they stop being become just statistics. Mm-hmm. They become people and you see the real struggle. And I may not experience the full experience of being bombed, but to at least see the struggle of traveling to safety and you can empathize them. Just being in a bus, man, just looking at fathers bringing their kids and wives to the bus, saying goodbye, and just kissing them the forehead, don't know if they're going to see them again, just saying goodbye to them, waving, just crying. I'm used to seeing mothers cry, but I'm not really used to seeing fathers cry.
Yeah.
crying is just a mother thing, you know? I grew up with that in the Filipino culture. It's a mother thing. And so my father rarely cry. You know, I don't know if I've seen my father cry.
Yeah,
so when I was in Ukraine, I see fathers crying. Mm-hmm. I was talking to this young kid, a young guy. He's only like 24. He has a child. He said, I had to bring my child to the border, to the bus, say goodbye to my child. And he was like, it's my child's birthday today. I'm not there. And so you see you hear the crack in his voice. It's like, I just want to see my kids. And that's war for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the effect of war. Families and families just being torn apart and scarred for life. You know, and it can be discouraging and probably any therapy after the trip in Ukraine because of the things I saw. It's crazy. I went to a place where they did the massacre. Remember that when the Russians were going back and they had a massacre? We went to that specific place. Now I forgot the name of the place. I should have done my research. But the effect of that, seeing the family members, seeing all these people affected, it's not an easy feeling, you know. So, but at the end of the day, you hear stories like Johan, you see Child Impact's work there, ADRA International. Mm-hmm. So shout out to ADRA International. They're the only refugee camp there that has a heater. So it was very cold. It was winter during that time when I came. So I was freezing. Ukraine is up north. And so I just want to shout out to ADRA International for a heated place for refugees to come. So I guess I want to end with a thought of how powerful compassion is. Sometimes when I went to Ukraine, I feel like we're not making a difference. So many millions of people coming out. And are we really making a difference? Or, you know, what are we really doing here? Sometimes I wonder. But it's amazing what compassion does to human mind. I was talking to a doctor there that sent his wife at the border.
Mm-hmm.
And she went out to the Romanians. And they will welcome the Romanians and the group of Seventh-day Adventists from the Seventh-day Adventist Church and ADRA International also. They welcome people. And his wife texted them, "I love it here. The Romanians loved us. They kissed us. They hugged us. I've never felt anything like this before." And just a simple hug, just a simple kiss on the cheek, for them was a game changer. Mm-hmm. It like boosted their morale. And I remember the story of group of people who, when they went out, when I was there on the border, they asked the ADRA people, where's the Adventist bus? The Adventist, by the way, Adventist is like my church, mm-hmm. Seventh-day Adventist Church. We have a little group there called ADRA International, Adventist Relief. So they were outside. But the Ukrainians, when they go with the Seventh-day Adventists, you're always taken care of. They're not just put in a building. They're not just put in a place, where a dormitory.
Mm-hmm.
When you're with Seventh-day Adventists, you're adopted by a church member's house.
Yeah.
So you're not in a room. Your family is in a house with real people taking care of you, living life with you.
Your family.
Yeah, you go, arrive, you're with people, they give you a blanket and a heater and a hot soup and a Romanian salad and all this stuff. It's really good stuff. And then they bring you to the bus, they process your passport for the border, and they link you to people in Germany that are also church members, and they take care of you, they give you a mattress, they give you real good food.
And then I remember Johan too, like when they get off the bus, he welcomes them with music.
Oh, Johan has this accordion. And sometimes Johan would sing him. They have a microphone up in the bus, and he would sing them like this Elvis Presley song. Oh my goodness. There was this time, good thing you remind me, there was this time Johan was singing this song about Elvis Presley. And the song was about Mansion Over the Hilltop, and it's a religious song, and the Ukrainians were singing. It was from Ukrainian, and the song says, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old, and someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest gold." Man, I was just in tears because the story was just about, soon enough, I know this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Soon enough, a time will come that we'll all go there to a place where there's no more pain, no more crying, no more separation. We'll all just be together. And you know, you see this, the Ukrainians there is crying tears of comfort because of that song. And that's just what compassion does. This is what the world needs. And you know, yeah, we can give food. We can do all these things. But man, just a voice of encouragement or a kiss in the cheek, a hug, just a game changer. And when they go to Germany, they're taken care of. Education, free healthcare, everything. And so when they go out, they always ask, "Where's the Adventist bus?" And I guess that's just my dream. My dream is to have a church not just be known as a church that doesn't eat this or does go to church this day or whatever.
The church with compassion.
I want to be known as a church with compassion. That when they see the church, when they see our group of people, they look at us and say, "I want to go there because I feel safe. I feel belonged. I feel figured in and I feel loved." I want to have something like that. You know, and that really taught me that lesson when I was in Ukraine. It's like, amidst all this war, people will really choose compassion. I want to be part of that. You know, I want to go there because these people love me. I'm not just a project. I'm a family.
Well, I want to be part of that too.
Wow, you guys finished the whole episode. Thank you for listening and journeying with us. We have more amazing stories in this podcast. So if you have not checked them out, please do. We release one episode every Monday. Join us next time in Beyond the Passport. Thank you for listening.
Dun, 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 dun.